Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining us right now, does a great job with The Athletic, Evan Drellick. Evan, Joe Beningo, Evan Roberts here in New York. How are you?
Doing good, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming on. Before we get to the money, how about the safety aspect? We had heard last week, it had come out, you guys had the report on it, of all the different protocols that would have to happen. Are the players and the owners in a good place when it comes to the safety protocols for the baseball season this year?
They're in a better place than they are for the economics. So the players sent back revisions for the health protocols. MLB also got revisions from the teams. The teams don't have the ability to stop anything or really ultimately have a say, but MLB's trying to collect everybody's information. The feeling is if the economics can get worked out, the health protocols will eventually fall in line. One isn't really dependent on the other. They can work on the health stuff while trying to figure out the money.
You know, to me, the clock is ticking on this. I mean, especially if they're looking to start the year around the 4th of July. I mean, I would think they got to have something done by, you know, some at some point this week or not too much after that, because you got to have some kind of a training camp, right? I mean, so I would think they got to get something done soon.
The soft deadline that everybody is looking at, Joe, seems to be June 1st. That doesn't mean it can't bleed into the second week of June.
Right.
But next week, as you're pointing out, is a week that a lot of people are looking at. And there's some suspicion because there hasn't been a lot of movement since you and I last talked, which was 2 weeks ago. MLB had one meeting, and now we haven't had a meeting between those sides until today. So now we have this new economic proposal from MLB. The player side might be wondering, are they trying to set it up to be a take-it-or-leave-it situation? We don't know that yet.
But they have moved off, even though it was out in the public for the last few weeks on the 50-50 split. They've moved away from that, the owners?
Yeah, they never officially ended up proposing revenue sharing, in part because the union made so clear in a story at The Athletic that they had no appetite for it because revenue sharing looked too much like a salary cap. So what they proposed today was a straight percentage cut that would be divided up by different classes of players. So players making less money normally wouldn't have to give back as much money, and the richest would be taxed more. We need to see if the union likes that on two levels. Number one, they didn't want to take any sort of pay cut beyond what they already agreed to in March. Number two, the idea of dividing the players by class, that's not something they're usually too keen on. Unity is something the players typically fight for.
Yeah, I think that would be fair, though. I mean, you know, if you got a guy that's a young player that's not really making any money yet, at least in the baseball terms, any money yet, I mean, and you got a guy making, you know, $15, $20, $25 million a year, I mean, that does make sense to me. You know what I mean? I mean, it does make some sense.
Yeah, intuitively, I get that as well. There are higher-level politics at play here, though, where they have to be concerned, particularly with next year being a CBA year, the whole agreement is up. They have to be concerned about their membership and their sense of unity. If essentially the MLB offer serves to pit these guys against each other, player on player, the union's probably not going to bite at it, at least in this form. And again, we still don't know if they're willing to accept any sort of further pay cut, but at least they are talking.
Are the owners going to offer, are they planning on offering anything that relates to, we'll still give you your money, but we're going to give it to you 3 years from now, 5 years from now? Is that a possibility that they would try to get the players to bite on that?
Ken Rosenthal and I had sourcing that indeed the one flexibility, or at least one of the flexibilities the players might have here, is to accept deferrals, as you're talking about. So rather than a pay cut and further reducing the salary, simply accepting the money in 2021, 2022, which is what they're doing in the draft. It's not clear, though, whether the owners would want to do that. They might claim that doesn't solve our problem. All we're doing is kicking the can down the road, and we're still on the hook for that money. And also, the players and the owners as well might have to be concerned that it's going to screw up the finances for 21. That if they're paying in 21 for 20, is that going to hurt the free agent market? So it's one possibility, but it's not in play yet.
I don't see how, no matter what they come up with this year, and if they wind up playing this year, I don't see how it does not affect free agency next year. I mean, I don't see how that's possible.
You're right. It's going to have a trickle-down effect, but it's all about the alternative. One way or another, free agency right now, if they start playing 82 games July 1st, they get a postseason in, it's still going to look different. Arbitration is going to look different, and arbitration has been the lifeblood for players in some of these leaner years prior to this winter, when all the union and players were complaining about the state of finances in baseball. So it's not going to be pretty, but the bottom line is, if your choice is play or don't play, guess what's going to make the money better for everybody? It's to play.
Yeah. Well, I could just see, you know, next offseason, Mookie Betts, you know, one of the best players in baseball, is out there as a free agent, and he's getting no offers. Or he's getting offers that are well below what we thought he would get, and then the players start complaining about it. Do you sense that that's going to happen, that we're going to get, you know, the players talking about collusion, the owners saying, look, we don't have the money, we just had a fanless season? Are we looking at an ugly offseason no matter what they come to agreement on this season?
My gut is yes, it just could be reduced. The ugliness could be mitigated a bit. We still don't know, being we, the public, the fans, the media, exactly what MLB's finances are. MLB made a presentation of the union claiming massive losses, essentially, saying that the teams are going to go into debt. And the union, you'll remember, followed up with a document request. They wanted MLB to prove its peril. They got a small response. So the union asked for a lot of documents. MLB sent back some. There's a feeling Seth Levinson, who's one of the top agents in baseball, went on the record with us the other day. There's a feeling that one way or another, the players are going to have to operate on good faith here. And the fear is that once you get to the winter, that good faith is going to be thrown back in their face. Right. That, okay, we believe you owners. You're saying you're going to lose all this money. We'll take a pay cut, and then if they get to the winter and free agency and arbitration go terribly, the players are going to be left holding the bag once again.
Is there a faction of owners that actually would rather not play this year? Or, you know, maybe you're going to lose less money by not playing? How about that?
There is definitely factions of owners who feel more strongly than others about starting back up. Whether there's someone right now who is adamant that the game shouldn't be played, well, the whole league stance at the moment is, unless the players take a further pay cut, we can't afford this, on average. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That said, there are different owners in different situations. The Angels have just made pretty massive cuts to their employees. You're going to see that around baseball. The big market team might put in cuts. The A's today, there were several reports that they're about to cut people. They're a small market team. Everybody's in a different financial situation, so there is infighting amongst the owners to some extent as well.
We're talking to Evan Drellick on baseball as they continue their negotiations. One thing that I think would be very positive for the players is there can't be 25-man rosters or even 30-man rosters. Obviously, there's going to have to be a group of players that are there in case someone gets sick or someone gets hurt, since it's likely we're not going to have a minor league season. If I'm Tony Clark, I'm saying anybody on that list, this qualifies as Major League service time. If I've got 50 guys in my pool, including 20 guys on the taxi squad or 15 guys on the taxi squad, what I would say, and I would assume the players would fight for this, is that counts as Major League service time. Has that even been talked about yet in this negotiation?
I imagine it has come up. It is something I've thought about as well, that if you're going to be out there, one way or another, you need to get service time. It might be the case on a day-to-day basis that only 25 players are active.
Right.
It's not like you can dip into your 20 pitchers on a given Tuesday night. But I imagine the union's mindset is exactly what you're saying, Evan, that they're going to want full credit, full pay, regardless of whether or not you are on that active roster. And that'll probably end up being part of the negotiation here. That's a smaller part, though, than what they're trying to figure out right now with the overall player pick.
How about the testing aspect of this for the players? Because I got to believe these guys are going to be tested constantly, right? I mean, you would think so.
Constantly, and there's some feeling not enough. The way MLB drew it up in its initial draft was that it would be a few times a week as opposed to daily. And so we don't know the specifics of what the union sent back to the league, but testing is a part of it. So the union sent back all these different comments on the 67-page protocols that the league had sent over. It's very possible that the players are advocating for increased testing, increased frequency of testing. On the league side, however, it might be the case that they don't have that capacity, at least not yet. They're converting this drug testing facility, or intending to convert this drug testing facility that they use for minor league players, into a coronavirus testing facility, at least in part.
Right now, are all 30 Major League Baseball teams okay and planning to play in their home building? Or are there any teams that may not be the case, whether it's the Toronto Blue Jays up in Canada? It seems like the governor of California is on board with games inside those stadiums. So where are we on that, teams playing in their own ballparks?
Yeah, as of a few days ago, we were trying to track down a belief that there was at least one governor who still felt that it was not a good idea. It's not clear yet. We don't have a thumbs up, at least publicly, from everyone. That doesn't mean that Rob Manfred and the owners don't all have that at this point, but no one has expressed publicly that every single municipality is going to be okay with teams playing there without fans. But New York and California were looking to be, at least in the continental U.S., put Toronto aside, the most challenging. So if those markets are opening up, then it becomes a little bit of a guessing game. Well, who would still be arguing with this if New York and California are okay with it? But Toronto and international travel might still present a problem, like you said.
You know, no matter how this plays out this year, it does look like we're heading for some kind of a war over the labor agreement in 2021. Is that fair to say, no matter how this plays out going into this year?
You know, the indication today is that MLB wants the owners to give back another 33%. That's a little bit of breaking news. That's the figure that roughly they're asking to give back on top of the 50%. These two sides, the owners and the players, in recent years, have been bashing each other over the head publicly. But there's been no work stoppage. So it's been something that maybe the everyday fan isn't paying as much attention
to.
My area of coverage. I think it's freaking fascinating. But this isn't new. They have been at each other's throats with comments about free agency, tanking, service time.
Right.
Go down the list that's been there. It's kind of business as usual for these parties in recent years. But yeah, come next winter, it's going to be very unpredictable because you don't know what the finances are going to look like, and you don't know who's going to be ticked off by what coming out of this expected agreement right here, right now.
I'll go back on something you said. So obviously the players have agreed to prorated salaries. That was from March. Now the owners are looking for 33%. Is that the number you said from what the players are scheduled to make?
That's the number, the overall number. So when you put it all together, with the different graduated pay cuts, you know, the rich player takes X percentage, the little guy takes X percentage less, whatever. The overall number, as it was explained to me, the first indication is roughly a third off of that. We don't know if the players are going to go for it, but that's the heart of the argument. The owners are saying, one way or another, you're taking less money or we're not going to play. And the players are sitting there and pointing to that March agreement saying, no, we already agreed to a pay cut. We're not taking a further pay cut. So we still don't know if there's any budge on either side at this point.
So your gut right now, Evan, July 4th, are they playing baseball or not?
Yes, because I'm naive and a hopeless romantic, and I don't think they are stupid enough, either side, that they would let this fall apart over the money. That said, and this just came into me now, the players' side is disappointed with the proposal. And maybe that's something to consider taking away.
Yeah, I figured they would say that no matter what. Like, no matter what the cut was, that would be the axe.
Right.
We're disappointed.
Right.
All the other stuff, the schedule, the amount of playoff teams, who makes the playoffs, is that just after everything's done, that's the last thing they're going to worry about? That's like the last thing on the chart of things to check off before we get a baseball season?
I just don't see a fight over it. It's logistical and not something that they need to dig in on. At this point, it's possible the union could want something different than what MLB is eyeing, but they are, to some degree, partners. And I think that area, as well as the health protocols at the end of the day, those can go off a little bit more smoothly once they get past this. Mm.
Wow. Unbelievable. It really, I tell you, it would just look, like you said, so bad. If they didn't play baseball this year because of money, when 38 million people are out of work in the United States, man, that is a bad look.
And I think they know it, and that's why you, Evan.
I don't see how they can't know it. I really don't.
I think, like always, it'll get ugly before it gets better. Like you even said, the players are disappointed with the offer. The owners are going to be disappointed. There'll be all that kind of stuff, but eventually they have to work it out. One last thing. You said the soft deadline is June 1st. What's the real deadline? I mean, how late can they reasonably
go
before something has to give?
So that goes back to a money question. The June deadline is so that you could start the season around July 1st. If you miss that soft June deadline, okay, start your regular season later in July, maybe even as late as August. But the number of games played matters to the economics, and the players are going to end up fighting, if they can, to play as many regular season games as possible.
Let me ask you this, Evan. I want to jump in on you, Evan, here for a second. Do they worry at all? Because I got to tell you right now, the closer we get, if you're telling me baseball's now, we're getting into August and they're just starting baseball now, I got to tell you, for a guy like me, man, my interest, especially if the NFL is going to kick off on time, okay, I'm going to tell you right now, my interest is not going to be what it normally would be. I mean, the farther we get away from opening in July, the less interest that I could see a lot of people, and me as well, having in the season. I got to tell you that.
You're right. I don't think they would ultimately stop the season because if they got a deal done, it was later than they thought because football is looming. But to this point, there is no indication that they're going to have to push it back. Everybody is at this moment fighting for that mid-June spring training
start, early July
season start.
And it does seem that some teams are planning on going to Florida and some teams are training at home. I mean, I think the reports over the weekend for our teams here in New York are both the Yankees and Mets are going back to Florida.
Right,
but a lot of teams are going to have spring training in their own building. Is that, you know, you get a sense of where most teams plan on kind of getting ready for the season?
It's been left up to the individual clubs, and I don't have a poll or survey of every team at this point. You're right on the New York teams. But the interesting contrast here is MLB doing the right thing in comparison to what the NBA is thinking about doing? You have the other leagues saying, we're going to go into a biodome, essentially. We're going to go to Disney. We're going to have everybody in one place. And MLB is taking the opposite route. Let's see if we can spread out and do it closer to normal. Is one of those sides going to be proven right when it comes to the health discussion? That's a whole other topic.
Yeah. Evan, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for popping
on. Thanks, Evan. Appreciate it, man.
You got it, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.